بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: لا تبدأ اليهود ولا النصارى بالسلام، فإذا لقيتم أحدهم في طريق فاضطروه إلى أضيقه. رواه مسلم. We are drawing towards the end of the chapter, which quite a lengthy chapter, which deals with the various aspects of salam, its etiquettes, its encouragement, its prohibition, etc. Appropriately, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah terminates this chapter with a subheading which deals with the prohibition of initiating salam with a kafir or a disbeliever. And should a disbeliever make salam to you, how should you respond? And in an instance where there is a mixed gathering, believers and disbelievers, there it is mustahab, it is preferable that you should make salam to them. And obviously the etiquette of that. This hadith, we started the discussion yesterday, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تبدأ اليهود ولا النصارى بسلام. Do not initiate greeting. You must not be the first to greet with salam when it comes to Yahud and Nasara. In other words, disbelievers, Jews, Christians, etc. The salam that is referred to in this hadith obviously is the salam of Islam, and we have dealt with this in great length, that when it comes to salam, salam is not just a greeting in Islam, it's an ibadat, it's a form of worship. You are invoking Allah's name, which is salam. Allah is the source of all peace, all security. When you are making salam, you are declaring that the person you are making salam to is free in every essence and every manner from you causing him any taklif, any difficulty, any hardship. You are making dua for that person. You are according a level of respect and dignity and honor to the person to whom you are making salam. All this is incorporated in the salam of Islam. Now when it comes to a kafir, a disbeliever, on the one hand, obviously from our hearts, we are supposed to desire their hidayat, their guidance. We are supposed to show them the akhlaq and the character of Islam, because their road to accepting Islam is your and my conduct. How do we portray Islam? We are ambassadors of Islam. Every rakat of every salah, we are making dua for the hidayat. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Not only our hidayat, we are making dua. It is compulsory that we make dua for their hidayat also. Like I said, and we touched on this yesterday, that we must understand hadith in its context. This hadith probably refers to a context where it's Islamic rule. Muslims are in all likelihood in the majority. Towards the latter part of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the verses of the Quran were revealed. Innama al-mushrikuna najas fala taqrabu al-masjid al-haram ba'd 'amihim hadha. That those people of shirk, kuffar, disbelievers, those who ascribe partners with Allah Ta'ala, they are impure, their beliefs are impure. So they must be banished, removed from the Haramain Sharifain. They must not be even close to Ka'batullah, etc. So in that context, where it's Muslim rule, and those that opt to remain in an area which is ruled by the Muslims and want to still practice upon their religion, they fall into a category of what we call zimmi. That is, there's a lot of detail in that, and obviously we're not going to go into those masail, but when it comes to them, they pay a certain amount of tax, of protection, etc., to remain under Muslim rule. In that instance, we find such guidelines given to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not initiate salam with the Yahud, with the Nasara, with the Jews, with the Christians. And even if you pass by them in the road, He said that consign them to the narrowest path. Now what does this mean, that you are passing by them? It's a wide area. Rasulullah says, وَإِذَا لَقِيتُمْ أَحَدَهُمْ فِي الطَّرِيقِ, you meet them on the road, فَاتَّرُوهُ, confine them, compel them to the narrowest path. In other words, in your demeanor and in your manner, do not have an inferiority complex. Today, unfortunately, particularly in instances where Muslims are in a minority, or we are overtaken by the culture of batil around us, that even those that are practicing on Islam, they do it in a defensive way. They do it in a way like we develop some sort of inferiority complex. In our heart, we have to be totally and completely convinced that the most superior way is the way of Sunnah, the way of Islam. What Allah has given you is far more valuable than what Allah has given them. So in other words, in your demeanor, in your manner, in your interaction with them, there must not even be the slightest hint or slightest indication that what they have, na'uzu billah, is superior to what Allah has given you. So it is important to understand such ahadith in that context. Coming back to this aspect of not being allowed to initiate salam with the disbeliever, with the kuffar, Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, لَا تَجِدُ قَوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يُوَادُّونَ مَنْ حَادَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَوْ كَانُوا آبَاءَهُمْ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. Allah Ta'ala in the Quran gives us certain measuring tapes, gives us certain yardsticks to gauge the level of your iman. And Allah says, one of the signs, you will never find a person who has true iman on Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showing love and devotion for those who are the enemies of Allah, even if it is his own parents and his family. A person who has shirk in his heart is ascribing partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is the akhlaq of Islam, desire the hidayat, hate the action, don't hate the person, etc. But to have effusive love for them, to honor them, to put them on a raised platform, that Islam does not allow. Why? Because in essence, as long as they will remain on that shirk, they are enemies of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are in fact insulting Allah by ascribing partners with Allah. There is no greater insult to Allah. Ayyu dhanbi a'zam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, what is the greatest sin a man can possibly commit? What is the most reprehensible, the lowest of the low? What is the worst action anyone can do? He said, al-ishraku billah, to ascribe partners with Allah. So we have to have that in our hearts. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا عَدُوِّي وَعَدُوَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ, that, O you who believe, my and your enemies, those who ascribe partners with Allah Ta'ala, don't make them your awliya, your bosom friends. Don't elevate them, put them on some platform. When you make salam, it is a gesture of honor. It's a gesture of dignity. It's a gesture where you are putting that person on a pedestal. So when it comes to kuffar and disbelievers, in essence, as long as they will remain on that shirk and kufr, they are enemies of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is important that, this is why Islam advocates quite clearly that we are not allowed to initiate salam with them. وَنَا نَسِنَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Before I mention this hadith, you are not allowed to initiate salam with them. What about if they make salam to you? Then in that instance, what are you required to do? We find this in this riwayat of Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا سَلَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ, the people of the book, in other words, the Yahud and the Nasara, or disbelievers, those who ascribe partners with Allah. Because Allah Ta'ala tells us, even the Yahud and the Nasara in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala refers to them as mushrik. قَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ عُزَيْرٌ ابْنُ اللَّهِ وَقَالَتِ النَّصَارَ الْمَسِيحُ ابْنُ اللَّهِ. Allah Ta'ala said, the Yahud said that Uzair, na'uzu billah alayhi salam, is the son of Allah. Wa qalat al-Nasara al-Masih ibn Allah. And the Jews and the Christians said, Masih Isa alayhi salam is the son of Allah, na'uzu billah. So that is shirk. Allah Ta'ala refers to them as having committed acts of shirk in the Quran. So, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that if the Ahl Kitab, the Yahud and the Nasara, make salam to you, in other words, they initiated the salam, Assalamu Alaikum, what should your response be? Obviously, the akhlaq of Islam, you are ambassador towards Islam, so obviously you don't totally ignore the greeting. What your response should be, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, فَقُولُوا وَعَلَيْكُمْ. You should respond, and upon you also. In other words, don't say وَعَلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامُ, say عَلَيْكُمْ or وَعَلَيْكُمْ. Sometimes with the wow or without the wow. We find both types of things are found in the riwayat. عَلَيْكُمْ, in other words, you have made a dua for me, you are greeting me, وَعَلَيْكُمْ, I am responding to you, that whatever you have said with my regard, I am invoking the same thing back to you. In other riwayat, we find that you may say, Hadakallah. Somebody says, Assalamu alaikum. Obviously, they've heard Muslims saying it, so out of, they want to show some sort of akhlaq character, they are greeting you. So, your response, Assalamu alaikum, a disbeliever said to you, peace be upon you. Your response, Hadakallah. May Allah give you hidayat. May Allah guide you. In other words, this dua, there's no problem with this. In fact, we are encouraged, the dua of hidayat, guidance, the desire that every person be saved from Jahannam and go into Jannah. Another riwayat we find, As-salamu ala man ittaba'a al-huda. In any case, that itself, that second, As-salamu ala man ittaba'a al-huda, is a little bit detailed with that, but simple is, alaykum wa alaykum o hadakallah. May Allah Ta'ala guide you. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, but I will start it now, inshallah, we'll continue. There's one very, very interesting incident. And it's, like I said, it's important to understand the context in which this prohibition is found. Where Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't initiate salam with the disbelievers. In Madinah Sharif, Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Muslims, etc., were living amongst the Jews. And the Jews, they hated Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Plotted his murder, did all sorts of things, tried to cause discord, division amongst the Sahaba, etc. And one very, very reprehensible habit of the Jews was, you see, the Arabic word Assalamu alaikum means peace be upon you. Now, if you drop the lam and instead of salam, you say psalm. It sounds similar if somebody is not listening attentively. But what psalm means, death, destruction be upon you. So the Jews would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would make salam. They would make what would appear to be salam. They wouldn't say assalamu alaikum. They would say assalamu alaikum. May destruction bear down upon you. May curses come down upon you. This is how they would greet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously, the escape clause was there, that if they were called to account, what are you doing? Then they would say, no, I said salam, I didn't say salam. But what they would actually say, assalamu alaikum. How would Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam respond to this? Once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the company of Aisha radiallahu anha, and a Jew came and said this. Very interesting incident. Like I said, time has run out, inshallah, we'll continue. Subhanallah.